From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
And welcome to the Disc Golf News for the week of May 3rd, 2004. I'm Brian Sullivan. Coming up this time, results from the Dogwood Crosstown Classic in Raleigh, North Carolina. Plus, Todd Branch has some tips on how to get control of your drives in this week's 60-Second Clinic. We'll preview this weekend's A-tier event, the Michiana Open in South Bend, Indiana. And class is in session. We'll talk with a university professor who's been teaching a class on the subject of all things disc sports. That's all coming up. It's sponsored by the Equalizer. It works the right muscles for more distance and discovering the world. You can discover them at dtworld.com.
Disc golfing should be inexpensive and fun. Discovering the World wants nothing more than to help you have fun. They offer a wide variety of disc golf and PDGA products. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Order ship within 24 hours, and there's a retail location open 7 days a week to deal with you personally. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com to see the full selection available now from Discovering the World.
The national tour was in Raleigh, North Carolina last weekend for the Dogwood Crosstown Classic. Results right now, beginning with the Masters Division, where Brad Hammett continues to beat the crap out of the old guys. Man, this kid's hot. Well, not really a kid anymore, huh, Brad? But he is a winner by a bunch of strokes over Hall of Famer Alan Beaver. Billy Crump taking third. To the Women's Division, where Leslie Herndon has given up full-time disc golf touring. She's gone back to her first love, dance, but she was dancing to this one and wins by a stroke over Carrie Burlogger. Ohio's Lisa Warner taking third in the Women's Division. Now the Open Division, Stevie Brinster, big win, his second ever. He's Mr. Consistency this weekend, and he's got it by a stroke over Cameron Todd and Walt Snoopaney. They tie up for second place. Time now for the 60-Second Clinic. This week, professional disc golfer Todd Branch has some tips on how to get control of your long drives.
A common question that comes up for people is that they have a hard time controlling their drives. And there's an easy way to fix it, but nobody seems to want to do it. People want to go out when they got some time to go disc golf, and they want to go out and play the course. And you can't really work on your game while you're out playing on the course because you're throwing different shots, shot after shot after shot. And it's hard to teach yourself to do something consistently if you're not consistently throwing that shot. So what you need to do is, instead of going out to the course one day, go out to a nice open field, try not to have a lot of cars around to hit, and practice throwing your drives. Pick out a nice target. If you throw 300 feet, pick out a nice target about 250 feet away, and practice throwing hyzers at it, which is just a shot that goes out to the right and gradually works its way left until it lands on the ground. That's basically the easiest type of drive there is to throw, and the one that you'll use most often when you're playing disc golf. Once you feel comfortable with that, then you can step your practice regimens up to straight drives or anhyzers. But the best way to learn, it's out in an open field where you get to throw the shot over and over again and until you feel comfortable with it, and not out on the disc golf course.
Todd Branch is a former PDGA competition director and a 5-year veteran of the National Tour. Improve your distance right now with the Equalizer. It is, hands down, the best distance enhancement device on the market. The Equalizer mimics backhand and forehand throws, so you're working all the muscles used in disc golf without throwing a disc. Available at your local disc golf retailer or call Disc Kentucky at 859-341-0156 for The Equalizer. In the big picture this week, disc golf in the classroom. Now, I can remember when I was an undergrad and had to take a PE class and try to choose between, I don't know, racquetball and bowling or some bunk. Well, the times, they are changing. And these days, there are disc sports classes available at a number of universities around the country. One of them is Ferris State University in Big Rapids, Michigan. The guy who teaches this class is Dr. Leonard Johnson of the College of Education and Human Services. We wanted to know from Dr. Johnson exactly how the class came about and how it's been going.
Dr. Leonard Johnson, welcome to PDGA Radio.
Hi, Sully. It's good to be with you.
So tell me about this class. It's called The Fundamentals of Flying Disc Sports. How did it come about?
This class came about really through an interest of mine. mine that started almost 30 years ago as a student in college. Actually, we played a lot of alternate when I was in college, and went to the folks that ran the PE department and said, "No, we're doing as much physical activity engaging in this club sport as we would if we were taking a course for credit. Is there any way we can arrange to have credit for that experience?" So in college back in the 70s, a couple of us were able to actually get an ultimate Frisbee class accepted for academic credit, which met one of the PE requirements for graduation. So I have a history that goes back to having been able to accomplish this as a student. And now as a faculty person here in Paris, I thought, why not continue that tradition here? And so I put together a class that really was designed to assist anyone to improve any aspect of their game, whether it would just be recreational play or whether they wanted to compete competitively in something like disc golf or multi.
And when you approach the department chair or whoever makes the decisions on what classes will be added every year, what was the reaction to this proposal?
Oh, it was favorable. And actually, I sort of had an in because the School of Education is within the college, the same college that the Department of Health and Physical Educational and Recreational Programming did. So since we're programs at the same college, we all report to the same dean, so to speak. So I was in a position really knowing the folks who made those decisions. It's really more of just a being able to suggest it to them as a possibility and providing the rationale for it. And the approval was really no problem to them. But I think it was due in large part to the position that they hold in the college and the people that I work with.
Now, as I understand it, the class was held one semester over the winter, and this coming fall, you'll be having the class again?
That's correct. A year ago, during the winter semester, and I designed it to work during the second half of the winter, so students would come in following spring break and then go the last 8 weeks of the semester, about a couple of times a week. But the weather didn't prove to be as good as I'd hoped. You know, there's still a lot of snow on the ground, fields were sloppy, out on the fields, tromping around, playing ultimately. All the fields were still in conditions. They were windy. So the conditions really weren't as favorable as I would have liked for a class like that. So I'm trying it this fall, during the first 8 weeks of fall, so we'll have a section in September until about the end of October.
And what, if I'm a student, can I expect to learn if I take your class?
Okay. As a student, what we do is, I typically during the first couple of weeks, get students together and see what they can do. And then I introduce them to all the different throws that they might be interested in learning. And we do everything from sidearms to backhands to overhand wrist flips to even throwing with their toes.
And I'm assuming you're playing some ultimate disc golf is involved. What other games are you playing during the class?
Well, mainly because disc golf really lends itself well to a class of 14, 15, 16 students in the field sport. It really works good as a way to help them kind of practice a variety of different throws to also get actively involved during the course of the semester. And when we do disc golf, I bring in portable baskets, help them with putting. We set up objects around the course of part of the athletic playing field where we might play simulated disc golf holes. I take them on a field trip to Flip City, which is only about an hour's drive from here. I provide them with other ways of achieving what I call participation requirement, where they have to either play or practice in some form. They could join the or participate in the Ultimate Frisbee Club that's established on campus and compete. They could drive to Grand Rapids and play in their summer league, or that extends into the fall, and participate in the disc golf tournament. They could go and get some friends and play on their own at a course, as long as they log what they're doing and give me the scorecards, and I give them credit towards the field hours, practical hours required in the course. So a lot of different ways to get credit. Again, the focus is mainly disc golf and ultimate, but toward the end of the semester, once they've kind of gotten the hang of different throws and things, and introduced them to double disc court, self-caught flipping competitions.
Well, let me ask you this, because I think our conversation is going to get a lot of people thinking. Say I am a student, and I want to get a Frisbee class, get a sports class going in my school. What would you recommend that I do to kind of get those wheels in motion?
Yeah, as a student at any college or university that offers physical education activities classes, if I were a student, I would go to either the dean of that college or to a faculty member that teaches physical activities classes in that particular department or school on campus and ask what the procedure is for proposing and offering an experimental class. Most universities have a mechanism whereby students could, if they're able to show that there's interest in X, Y, or Z, that they've got someone who has the background to work with them to develop skills, most colleges and universities provide a means for students to accomplish that. It might require filling out some forms, coming up with some rationale, and maybe a course plan where you could state goals and objectives and those kinds of things to justify the academic credit that you awarded, but it's really well worth it.
Dr. Johnson, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, too, Brian. It was good talking.
Dr. Leonard Johnson teaches disc sports at the College of Education and Human Services at Ferris State University in Big Rapids, Michigan. We reached him at his home in Big Rapids. The Big Dogs are headed to Fighting Irish country this weekend. They're going to South Bend, Indiana for the Michiana Open. The tournament director is Jason Samuel.
The Michiana Open started as one of the very first club tournaments that the Michiana Disc Golf Club hosted each and every year. And this, in fact, is the 10th year for the tournament. However, it's only the third year that it's been sanctioned. Last year, of course, it was Super Tour, and we fared quite well. As a matter of fact, the nearly $11,000 purse from the 9th annual Michiana Open was 15th overall out of 500 tournaments, so we're happy with the results there. Think back to the first time it was sanctioned, we had a throw purse. It was about $900. Our peak year in 2002 only reached about 1,400. So the dramatic jump shows that, A, we're doing some things right here in the greater South Bend area, and B, we've got courses that people want to come and play. So we're looking forward to having just the same kind of excitement that we did last year here again at May 8th and 9th.
And who has won this event since it received the Super Tour status?
Well, last year it was Brian Schweberger in the Open Men's Division. He defeated Gary Schultz by one stroke. And Open Women was won by Julianna Korver. Julianna defeated Leslie Herndon by two strokes. And Open Master was Brad Hammack, who's been having a fantastic time in the Masters Division. He won by seven over Javier Kowalski.
Jason Samuel is the tournament director for this weekend's Michiana Open in South Bend, Indiana. We reached him at Oxbow Disc Golf Course. So, what else is going on this weekend? Allow me to illuminate. We begin with the West Coast Pros. You're headed to the Mother Lode in Grass Valley, California. West Coast AMs, you're going to the Masters Cup in Santa Cruz. Dunlin, Florida, hosting the Boomtown Classic this weekend. And in Owensboro, Kentucky, it's the Davis County Parks Open. The Great Northwest Open in Roseburg, Oregon this weekend. And are you experienced? It's the Mountain Disc Golf Experience in Asheville, North Carolina. The Temple Open, Temple, Texas. The Lilac Open in Chi-Line, New York. Good luck, guys. Hang on to that course. We are with you in spirit. World's Warm-Ups 1 and 2 in Indianola, Iowa this weekend, plus the Camping Doubles Hardware Challenge in Milan, Illinois. Browns and Bows, Browns Valley, California. Bunch more. Check the whole list at pdga.com. And finally this week, the invitations to Worlds have been coming back at a very nice rate. AMs are doing a little better than the pros on that, and everyone wants to make sure those invitations are returned as quickly as possible, as the waiting list is very long, and we don't want anyone to miss out on all the fun that's going down this August in Des Moines, Iowa, at the Disc Golf World Championships. Keep in mind, there are sponsorship opportunities available within this program. If you're interested in more information, please contact the office at office@pdga.com. And these shows are being archived, so your ad will be out there for like a zillion years, and it's a pretty cool thing. So, think about that. And that is the Disc Golf News for the week of May 3rd. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Please check out our sponsors, The Equalizer. It works the right muscles for more distance. And Discovering the World. You can discover them at dtworld.com. Until next week, keep them in the fairways.